opening our Bibles, first of all, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, but I would also like to sing a chorus as we open, and people have come to expect us to sing Keep On Walking by Faith, and I think we'll do it again. There are a lot of choruses we could sing, but I don't know of anything with a simpler and yet more profound message than that. We must walk by faith, especially now, the way things are in this world. We walk by faith and not by sight. So let's sing it a few times and just worship the Lord. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Let's give the Lord a praise today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad to be here today with you. And a lot of good and marvelous things are happening, great and marvelous things. And I did hear from the people in Australia, they're coming the end of October to be baptized in Jesus' name, all the way from Melbourne, Australia. And this man had been, before his conversion, had been a very high-ranking Freemason and Scottish Rite and numerous other things, to 33rd degree, and working beyond that. Anyway, the Lord pulled him out of that. So, and he's very, very excited about getting here, he and his wife and his daughter. So they all want to get baptized in Jesus' name. They'll be here for about 5 or 6 days, I think. And we're looking forward to that. Amen. A lot of great things going on, though. The Lord is really doing a great and mighty work in many ways. He's stirring His remnant up. And also, He's speaking to a lost world with consternation. Because rebellion can only go on so long, and then judgment will come. And we are seeing that. I know this morning, just a few hours ago, really, not that many hours ago, there was another earthquake in China. And this time it leveled thousands more buildings. It's completely disabled and you might say destroyed over 400 dams along the rivers. So now they're worried about all the flooding that's going to take place. There are over 10 million people displaced that have no homes. That's a lot of people. And they're in some bad shape over there. The kings of the east may rise up, but not without consequence to them. All of prophecy must be fulfilled, and it is being fulfilled. You know, I've been watching the earthquakes, and it is like a woman in travail. It really is. The intensity increases and the frequency increases. And I watch this constantly. If you wonder what I ever do with my time, with all of my time, follow me someday. It's really something. I'm constantly researching and working on these things for the Lord. Anyway, by the way, I just finished a PowerPoint presentation I'll be doing out west. And I'll also be doing the same one here. I'll let you know when. And it rattled me. As long as I've been watching, as much as I've studied, it really shook me up. It's really something when you're putting together a presentation and it shakes you up while you're doing it. It's hard to describe that feeling. It's, wow, you know, this can't go on much longer. And truly, it can't. But you know, I was up in Eau Claire a couple days ago, and I had CNBC. How was that? They put a couple letters in. Is that right? CNBC, that's right. Anyway, the news commentators on there were saying, what's going on in California? And I wish they could have heard my answer. I know what's going on in California. They passed this law where you can, where the queers can marry. Now they're wondering, because they were saying, there's earthquakes, there's floods, there's fires, there's mudslides. How come? You know, is two and two still four? Whatever happened to the word called evil? Is that outmoded now? Have things changed so much that there is no evil anymore? That we're all good, basically good people. You're okay, I'm okay, we're all okay, everything is okay, but it isn't. It's amazing what's going on. This earth is trembling. This earth is shaking. I looked at a map this morning of the earthquakes, and I, as long as I've been watching, I've been seeing where in the past 30 days, I always go by that, past 30 days, how many earthquakes were there. And there used to be 262, 282, 302, 320. I was working on my newsletter, and I had 369, I believe it was, or something like that. And the next day when I went back to continue working on it, it already jumped to, I believe it was close to 390. Now this morning I looked, 422. These are major quakes. These are 4.0 or more, and a lot of them a lot more. But you're not hearing about it because we've got this big thing going on with the candidates waltzing around the country and talking about, Hillary talking about, I'll never quit, I'll never quit. Why should I quit? After all, Robert Kennedy was assassinated in June. It's another way of saying Obama could be assassinated in June. You know, if he would have her to be vice president, he better watch his back. Because she would kill him in a New York minute. As a matter of fact, she'd kill him just like she killed John Jr., Kennedy, and had that tail of his plane explode over there near Martha's Vineyard. As a matter of fact, Kennedy had told the Time magazine, he said, I'm going to run for senator in New York. Of course, Hillary wanted that job. And very soon after, he was dead, but he also told Time magazine, he said, when I become senator, I'm going to let everybody know exactly who it was that killed my father. Well, the plane blew up. Another one of those coincidences, right? You know, we need to realize that this whole thing is choreographed, orchestrated. It's put together. They're playing a big game there. You know, Barack Obama is a front runner right now. And McCain is also in there. Either way, you lose. But it's kind of interesting because Ahmadinejad of Iran and bin Laden and all these people are all for Obama. They're saying, we want him in there. They must have some scheme in common. You see, Islam has risen up. I'll get into the word here in a minute. This is all going to tie in. Don't worry about that. But you see, before any major war ever broke out, I'm talking about world wars now, there was something very strange that happened. Large isms rose up. Isms. For an example, before World War I, of course, after the Napoleonic Wars, they had a treaty in Vienna. And by the way, a treaty is nothing more than a plan for the next war. They call it a peace treaty. It should be a war treaty. Because it's a blueprint that if this country attacks this one, we'll come in and help this one. That one will come in. That one will come in. It guarantees a world war. And when the Archduke Franz Ferdinand was shot and killed at Sarajevo, it started World War I. One man was assassinated, and all of a sudden the whole world's at war because of the treaty. And then the Versailles Treaty. And of course, they put impossible restrictions on Germany. Germany had to someday revolt. All they needed was some kind of a leader, somebody with magnetism to stand up that they could groom and finance and put into power. And then in stepped one Adolf Hitler, sometimes known as Schicklgruber. And he came in and took Germany by storm. Why? There was inflation there. There were so many restrictions there by the Versailles Treaty, so many reparations to pay. And finally Hitler said, we've had it. We're not going to do this anymore. And the people loved it. And he used all kinds of gimmicks to weld the German people behind him. Of course, you know what he turned out to be, and was definitely a type of Antichrist, the way it turned out. But we have situations in our country right now that are causing people to clamor for change. Have you listened to what Obama's been saying? We need change, change, change! Yeah, we do, but not his kind. But he's playing that card. That's his long suit right now. He's clamoring, getting the people to reach out. You know, at the rallies, they don't sit there and listen to him like this. They get their hands out. Thousands of people, hands are out, reaching out to Barack Obama. You see, after World War I, you had something rise up called Pan-Slavism. Mother Russia, the mother of all the Slavic people, of all the Russias, right? And then you had Pan-Germanism, all the Germanic people. You had the Greater East Asia Co-Prosperity Sphere, Southeast Asia. There were these isms, these blocks of political persuasion and religion that rose up, but primarily political persuasion. Now it's different. With World War III forming, we also have isms. And I don't know if Islam, if you can put ism after that, I'll do it just for the sake of getting the message across. But there is Islamism. All right? There is the strange religious political power, primarily religious, that has risen up. There is a so-called United Christendom as another ism. And they are full of witchcraft and Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings and entertainment and all this. And they get their prophecy all turned around backwards and mixed up. Listen, there is one hope for all people, whether they are Gentiles or Jews or whatever they are, and that is Jesus Christ. He alone is the Savior. You cannot bypass Him. I would rather see the Jews become Christian than Christians try to become Jews. Come on. But they've got it backwards. John Hagee's got it backwards. And then he goes and apologizes to the Vatican. He said, oh, I'm sorry I made any negative comment ever about the Roman Catholic Church and all this. It, really, it isn't a church, it's a system. The Vatican is Antichrist. The Vatican is the great whore that rides on the beast with seven heads and 10 horns. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. What could be clearer than that in Revelation chapter 17? And there's seven heads of 10 horns are the 10 divisions of the world set up by Aurelio Pichet of the Club of Rome before he died. And now that's all being perpetuated. We are seeing, you can read about the seven kings and then the eighth one. Do we not have a G7 summit and now it's called the G8? They're all through the book of God. You see prophecy being specifically fulfilled, and I haven't even started my message yet. But this is where it's going. We are anticipating, with great anticipation, the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is moving so fast it would make your head spin. If you've got an ounce of discernment, if you've got two brain cells, even two little cells clicking together, you must come up with some kind of a thought that, hey, this must mean something. Now they've been talking to the Saudis. George Bush has talked to the Saudis, and I don't know what it is with them. He's always, they have their faces right together like they're going to give each other a big kiss. Did you ever see that picture? It's unbelievable enough to make you sick. But anyway, of course, George Bush said it isn't really your problem. He said to the king, you know, he talks to King Abdullah and King this and King that and these sheikhs and so forth. Some people call it a sheikh. It's really sheikhs. I don't know if they have any fries and Coke to go with it. But anyway, he's talking to these guys all the time. He said, you know, you're not the problem. The problem is the American people. They're too gluttonous for gas. It's the demand is too high. That's what raises the prices up. And then you have all these oil executives with getting $100 million bonuses twice a year. And they're sitting there telling Congress, we can't do anything. It's supply and demand. If the demand is high, the supply is low, hey, we're swimming on oil. We have got so much oil, we don't need the Arabs. We don't need Venezuela. We don't need anybody. We've got enough oil under this country right now to sustain it for a long time to come. Don't listen to the false reports. There are people in Texas saying, we've got oil wells in our backyard. And they won't let us, they're tapped, the oil would gush out, they cap them off, they don't let us have it. They're dumping gasoline in the desert, opening the valves of the trucks, pouring it out to create a shortage. Yeah, these people are not nice. I remember teaching a Bible study years ago, and there was this elderly man sitting there. And we'd get into some of this stuff, and he'd look at me and he'd shake his head. He'd say, they're a dirty bunch. They're a dirty bunch. They are a dirty bunch. But, you know, we look at this whole world and we see all of this happening, and what it does for me as a Christian is it gives me an excitement to know that it can't be much longer before the sky bursts open and the angels of God appear and the Lord appears and comes down from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we also, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Isn't that what the Bible says? You know, the way it is, people get so misdirected. They look in all the wrong places. And that's all done on purpose, too. You know, with this political race and all these things going on, there's a lot that they're not showing you. I know when the Pope was over here, all lenses were focused on him. And right behind him, situated just to his left, and that's for a reason, there you had George Bush. Now, when they put the Pope in the UN, I've got a picture of it, they got the Secretary General up there and two other officials. The Pope is always on the right. And he's out there and he made a speech and people loved it. Oh, what a wonderful man. They said, this is God on earth. Well, we can be glad he isn't. And you know, when Pope Paul VI, not John Paul, but Paul VI, back in 1965, he stood up in front of the United Nations and called for a new united world order and united religion, and how this is the only hope and the only way to eliminate all war and strife is all surrender and all become one. He finished his speech, and in front of all those delegates, in front of the Trilateral Commission, of course, this Pope had specifically addressed the Trilaterals, but when he finished his speech, he said, so mote it be. Stamped his foot three times. Were there ants on the floor, or what was he? He's a brother Mason, as they would call him. That's what they say. So mote it be. You know, it's terrible, isn't it? How people are wandering around in a fog and they can't see, they just cannot see the woods because there's so many trees in the way. Right? It's right there in front of them and they don't see it. And people today are, I think, greatly disillusioned. They don't know what to think. They don't know where to turn. Everything doesn't work. They're not getting raises. They're not getting any more money. But the price on everything keeps going up. up, up. See, money's no problem for the government. They just print more. That's no big deal. They just turn on the press, turn on the faucet, turn on the money pump, keep kicking it out. And every time they do, prices go up, up, up. And you don't get as much of it as what it takes to cover everything. See, this is the problem today. And people are feeling the effect of it. Now, the Saudis said that oil will reach $200 a barrel very soon. And economic professionals are saying that gasoline in the United States will reach $12 a gallon by December. Now, you might say, it couldn't happen here. Not here. People wouldn't stand for it. I remember when Robert Abernathy in the Senate, many years ago, stood up in the Senate. Senator Abernathy said, I think that we should put a cap on income tax. No more than 5%. That income tax could never be more than 5%. And the Senate chamber, they all broke out laughing. They said, the American people would never put up with paying more than 5%. And so they didn't even vote on it. Then Senator Abernathy said, I think to save this nation, we need to get rid of the Federal Reserve and let the government issue money that is not borrowed into circulation through bonds and so forth. Just circulate it, regulate it, circulate it, which would be better. It's still not perfect. And they wouldn't go along with it. He kept pushing and pushing, get rid of the Federal Reserve. And one day he got sick, very sick. And they took him to the hospital. And they found that he had rectal cancer. And when he died, the janitor was cleaning the area and cleaned his chair and found a lump in it. And they opened it up and there was radium in his chair, in the lining. Radioactive radium to induce rectal cancer. When they took Joe McCarthy in for a routine checkup at Bethesda, Maryland. They had his death certificate all filled out in advance, and he never came out. When James Vincent Forrestal was trying to warn people that Pearl Harbor was rigged, Roosevelt set it up. Roosevelt ordered Admiral Kimmel to take half the fuel out of every vehicle, every airplane, every Jeep, everything they had, half tanks. Why? Because when bullets hit a tank that's full, it doesn't explode. A half a tank will always blow up because of the vapors. That he refused to let the people in Arizona be rescued. We know the story. But James Vincent Forrestal was trying to warn the people. He was in the Naval Hospital in Maryland, and he mysteriously fell out of a third-story window. And that was the end of him. Folks, this stuff happens all the time. There's always something going on behind the scenes. I just wanted to lay this whole scenario out to you because we need to know these things so we can understand what we're up against. Otherwise, you don't even know who you're fighting. We know we're fighting the devil. But let's understand that every one of these flag-waving, patriotic people are not saints of God. And this call to come back to Rome and be one religion and to elect a president. You know, over in Nigeria, the missionaries over there are saying America is playing with fire. Why? And the Nigerians all know this. Why would, and that's where Barack Obama has his ties and his roots. And they're saying, why would America elect a Muslim president? That goofy church down in Illinois that he belongs to means nothing. Nothing. If you have an Islamic president, and Islam is already taking over the country. If you look at the city of Dubai, a couple of buildings were there before 9/11. Now it's a massive metropolis. Did you know that 25% of every crane, all the cranes in the world, are right now in Dubai? Building, adding on. that they have islands, man-made islands shaped like palm trees out in the sea, and they're so huge and they have skyscrapers on them, it's visible from the moon. That place has become an Islamic capital of the world. It's a new Babylon. But there is a religion that is Babylon. And there is a Babylonian captivity. And in all of this, we have to say, where is the Lord? Where is the Almighty? Some people would ask that question, where is He? And that's the title of our message today, Where is the Almighty? And we just had a 20-minute preface. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so thankful, Lord, that we can look to Thee now because we're in such desperate need of Thee. Whether we realize our desperation or not, it's true, we are in need of Thee greatly. And Lord, I pray that Thou wouldst help us to understand Thy Word and to be moved in the Spirit to call upon Thee because time is just about gone. And O Lord, Thy coming is at hand. And many, many things are rising up every day. So Lord, guide us and direct us and help us to feel the urgency of the hour. O Lord, we are moved with the fear of respect for Thee, O God, but not with the terror of this world. And I pray now that Thou wouldst help us to understand and to rejoice in the hope of Thy salvation and to learn as Thy people to call upon Thee faithfully. And in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Now in Isaiah chapter 59, the prophet Isaiah is moved upon mightily by the Spirit of God. After all, doesn't the Scripture say of itself, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost? You know, we as the people of God should be moved by the Holy Ghost. By the author of this book. The one who is the author and finisher of our faith. We must be moved by the Spirit of God. I'll tell you what, I'm glad. This is a little different kind of a church, you know. We don't have clowns come in and ventriloquists and rock bands and all this kind of nonsense. And never will. We never will. And we're a little different because we're not very entertaining. And I'm not here to entertain anybody. I'm here to get a message across that there's a living God in heaven who's going to judge this world, and we better call upon Him and learn to do that and persist in prayer because He will answer our prayers. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And here the prophet Isaiah says, behold, Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. There is no question about the ability that the Almighty God has. But what happens is we are walking amongst a people, many of whom claim to be Christian, and are saying, where is God? Where is the Lord? Where is the Almighty? Look at all of this going on. Where is He? Oh, He's speaking. He's speaking all right. And by the way, when we say, where is the Lord, that's not a question of geography because He inhabits all things. He inhabits the universe. He fills all things. He's everywhere at the same time. God could never go where He hasn't been before, isn't already there. He is everywhere at the same time. He is omnipresent. You know, in the old days, the Caesars and even the Pope. You know, the reason that there are so many busts of the Pope and pictures of the Pope, every priest, in every priest's study, if you can call it, I don't know what they study, it's not the Bible, but in every priest's study, all over this whole wide world, they all have to have a picture of the Pope. It's required. You know why? That's Satan's attempt at being omnipresent. But you see, the Pope's not there. His picture is. Make a wonderful dartboard. Now, I'm going to get some letters on this. Somebody's going to be mad. I'm going to get mail where I open up, steam's going to come out. I guarantee you. I get some of that now. But I'll tell you what, that picture, that's Satan's attempt to be omnipresent, that he's everywhere at once. But it's not him. Satan can only be one place at a time, and I think he's been hanging out in Washington. You know, Satan actually does commute between Rome and Washington, between the Vatican and the White House and the Senate. He gets around. But I'll tell you what, we know he's there by his footprints. You can see what he does. Wherever his spirit is entertained, he will be there. Wherever people will walk in his pernicious ways, he will be there. And he is the master of deception, of deceit, of lies, of temptation, and he has done a number on this world. Now, people are looking at the whole situation. We could look at the tragedies. We could look at the injustice. All the things that grieve the soul. And people go to church. You know, I had a Seventh-day Adventist minister's son write to me one time. Seventh-day Adventist minister's son. He said that he grew up in the SDA church, Seventh-day Adventist church. His dad was a minister, and he said, I have never seen in all of my life, I had never seen an answer to one prayer, ever. Is there something wrong somewhere? We have a God that hears and answers prayer. And I'll tell you, in this world, where there seems to be almost no faith left, we'll see in a little while where Jesus himself questioned that when he came back in those days, would he find any faith left at all? See, man has all kinds of substitutes for faith. And if they can't pacify their need, whatever it is, in one way or another, they'll bring in entertainment and forget the whole thing. See, churches want to be full. We have institutions that need to be filled up, and so they'll do anything to get people in there. They'll have parties, they'll have bingo games, they'll have all kinds of floor shows, whatever you want to call it. And who knows what's next? We have massive hospital complexes. They've got to be filled up. What if you built big hospitals like they have, and not enough people got sick? What if everybody started getting healthy? They would be in trouble. Bad trouble. They would have to find a way to put something in the food or something in the drink or something in the air or something in the water that would induce sickness. And then complicate society and complicate all of the price structures and raise the fuel prices up. Now I heard this morning you're not even supposed to use charcoal anymore. They say they've got an alternative to that. It's made from ethanol. Little blocks of clear artificial charcoal made from ethanol is supposed to be a whole lot better. See, 25% of all the corn produced in this country goes into alcohol. Notice the canning factories have been converted into ethanol plants. Wheat is now considered a precious commodity. Stockpiles are at their lowest ever. So what you do is you make sure people aren't paid enough. So you've got to have at least two or three income families. Some people having to get a second and a third job. You know, George Bush was sitting at a big rally, political rally, when he's running right before he stole the election the second time. I said he stole the election the second time. He was sitting and he's talking to interviewing various people, and he had, you know, the common people, the ordinary American. And there was a woman came up and she said, I've been working three jobs. All she does is work and sleep. She said, I've been working three jobs. He said, isn't that wonderful? That's the American way. That man never worked a day in his life. That's the American way. Three jobs. Just work and eat. Work and eat. That's a concentration camp. What difference is there? Boy, I'll tell you, I went past Camp Douglas up there. You talk about expansion project. up there off Highway I-94, up north of Mauston, toward Tolma, they have been, have you seen it lately? They have put hundreds of millions of dollars. They've got this massive structure as far as the eye can see. Used to be a few little barracks at one time. I used to call it Camp Swampy, you know, Beetle Bailey. But now it's just massive buildings and big complexes and structures. And then they've got a big fence around it, and they got the barbed wire facing both directions to keep people in, not necessarily to keep people out. Are they anticipating some kind of trouble? You know, most people don't ask enough questions. They're too busy with Netflix or the idiot lantern, whatever. They really don't stop to think anymore. Thinking is painful in a society like this. Well, you might have to take some responsibility of coming to a conclusion. And who wants to come to a conclusion? Because then you have to change your life. Well, I've had people tell me that I'm a madman, that I'm crazy. I get letters like that. This guy must be completely off the wall, you know. I read this one letter, part of it. I just read enough to see what's going on, and then I throw it away. I don't waste my time on it. Crazy, off the wall, nutcase, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And then they went on to say, why, he even criticizes the Lord of the Rings. Well, that made me feel better. Yeah, sure I do. It's witchcraft. They're preparing a society. Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings. Now they got a new Prince of Caspian out there. C.S. Lewis materials and all that. They are preparing a people and getting them ready to receive a new doctrine that's been hiding all the time within denominations, within Catholicism, and it doesn't even hide that well when you know what to look for. Because years ago, Dr. Albert Pike, the author of Morals and Dogma, couldn't do that to the Canine Society, but he wrote this book, Morals and Dogma. Albert Pike wrote a letter to Giuseppe Mazzini, the head of the Illuminati in Italy, and he said the final world war, World War III, would be fomented by the differences between United Islam and United Christendom. That would be the cause of the war. But all of it would be centered in the Middle East at Israel. That would be where the charge is set off, so to speak, and that would be the focal point of the whole thing. But he called it clear back in the 19th century. We're in the 21st century now. And he had that all laid out already. And is it coming to pass? Right on target. But the Lord let us know about it a long time ago. And you see, what he said would happen is, after the final cataclysm, World War III, their plan is that what's left of society, because Christianity will be destroyed, and all other religions will be destroyed, which will leave only the pure doctrine of Lucifer, which would finally come out into public view. Now, what do you find behind the scenes in Catholicism, in all the daughter denominations? You find Luciferianism in the form of Harry Potter, in the form of J.R.R. Tolkien, in the form of C.S. Lewis, and all these things. They're all there waiting for all of the facade, all of the veneer, which doesn't mean much to them anyway, to melt away and leave nothing but Luciferianism, and their minds are already geared for it. No wonder they have no problem accepting it. People are being set up for the kill spiritually. But you know, the Lord has a people that He said would never, ever be deceived. As a matter of fact, the Lord said that He's even going to cut the time short to make sure they're not deceived. Because there is a general falling away. Not many people make it. There are people who will come to the Lord, they'll get baptized in Jesus' name, and a lot of them never receive the Holy Ghost, but they'll go to a certain extent, and then they fall away. And then they get mad about something, or something, and the devil gets them all stirred up somehow. Hey, the devil works on people. And he raises an army. And this happens over and over and over again, because few there be that find it. Fear not, my little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Straight is the way, narrow is the path that leads to eternal life. And few there be that find it, but broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. There's broad way for you. You know, everything that comes out of Hollywood actually starts on Broadway. When I got into New York the first time, got off the ferry at Whitehall and started walking, the first thing I saw was Broadway. Walked up the street just a little ways, and there was a big bull. I thought, yep, typical. And then, right after the bull, there was Wall Street. Wall Street, at the head of Wall Street, there's a cemetery at Trinity Church, a big old cemetery. I think Samuel Adams is buried in there and a bunch of others. So Wall Street starts at a cemetery and ends in the East River. That's appropriate too, isn't it? And all the things that go on there. But there's broad, I thought of that broad way that leads to destruction. And that street runs the whole 13-mile length of Manhattan. Broadway is 13 miles long. There's that funny number again. But you know, Manhattan is sitting on a fault line. And when they have a little shake-em-up over there, did you know Manhattan is going to split exactly in half? You know where it's going to split in half? You know what marks that fault line? A big obelisk called Cleopatra's Needle, which is right there in Central Park. You could go to Central Park, if you ever get the opportunity to go to New York City and go to Central Park, go and find that obelisk. I've prayed there many times that the Lord would rebuke it. You know, you see people sitting there and they bring fruit and they bring candy and they bring flowers and lay it all around it and they bow down in front of the obelisk and they sit there in lotus position with their legs crossed like a pretzel making their little circles. Remember those little circles they make? They put this finger together and that makes three sixes because there's one, two, three, that's 666. That's that symbol, see? And they sit there like that and they, om. They're stuck. Huh? Did you ever, these old phonograph records, remember when they'd stick the needle a stick? They'd about drive you nuts. He said, om. And then, that's almost as bad as when I say the rosary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. On and on and on. Ad nauseum, enough to make you lose your lunch. But they do it over and over, and they think that they'll be heard for their much speaking. What a world. Huh? What a crazy, mixed up, spiritually deranged, insane world. But they'll tell you that you're crazy. So you can walk in an insane asylum and you can get a general consensus of every nutcase in there. I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm just trying to make a point. You could get a general consensus of everybody in there that you're the one who's crazy. Huh? You'll find people going like this saying, I'm getting out of here. Huh? Oh, they'll say, you're the nut, you're crazy, you know? They live in a world of insanity because Satan has come in. There are spirits of insanity. Well. But here it tells us in the Word, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. Here's the problem. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. It's the sin problem. And your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. That's the problem, folks. A world of sin. And churches say, yeah, we pray, we don't get any answers. But we do it because we're supposed to, you know, we just go through the motions and got these little prayer books and we recite these little things. And some people recite the Lord's Prayer and never pay one attention to one word in it. They just recite it. And they go through the motions and they've got a little thing going on. And people say, oh, it's a church. And it's no church at all. It's just a house of vain repetition. It's just a place of entertainment. We understand that. But it's sin that's the problem. And the only solution to that sin is a true calling upon the Lord in repentance. Notice what the Lord says here in verse 3. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. And I will tell you this, if that doesn't fit Roman Catholicism to the very letter, then I don't know what does. Think about it. All the blood of the martyrs. You know, they had a special on one time, one of these talk shows at night. And they had asked a Roman Catholic bishop about the Inquisition and all the people killed by the Catholic Church, by the order of the Pope and all that. And this bishop said, well, yeah, that's true. It's a historical fact. But you have to understand, those were different times back there. Everybody was like that. He said, but you know, if it were today, we would never do such a thing today. Have you ever read Matthew 23 where that's the very identical answer the Pharisees gave to Jesus? If we had been in the days of our fathers, we wouldn't have killed the prophets. Same devil at work. That you realize that the same devils that inhabited those Pharisees back there are in these bishops and they're in those cardinals. The same spirits. The identical ones. They see, the people live and die. They fall over. They assume room temperature. They do that. And the spirits move on to the next one. And they're vying for power. Oh, I get Bishop Sheen. Ha ha. You know? And these demons go in there. By the way, that actor Martin Sheen, who was a big Jesuit, Martin Sheen is not his real name. His real last name is Estevez. He took the name Sheen from Bishop Sheen because that's his hero. That's his idol. That's his father confessor. There's so many actors, actresses. There are so many people that are... I've got a picture of George W. Bush, our current president, standing in front of the Pope and reaching out to him with a little blue box with a statue of Mary as the Mother of God in it, a scarlet red statue asking the Pope to bless his little statue. That's our president. I've got a picture of his brother Jeb Bush kneeling down in front of the Pope. I got a picture of Cheney holding the Pope's hand. Come on. Condoleezza Rice also. All these people, they're secretly Roman Catholic. But they're also skull and bones. They're also Masons. All this thing, they're all mixing it together because at the very heart of all of these isms and ideologies is Luciferianism, the worship of Satan. But it's masqueraded. It is disguised. These people are hoodwinked. John, they're hoodwinked. There was a day when you wore one of those, but that's long gone. Amen. Hoodwinked. Really something when you get into a place where you got to put on a hoodwink. And how are you going to read the Bible that way? Yeah. There's a big altar in the right smack in the middle of the lodge, and they got the Bible open. If it's sometimes they got the Vedas and sometimes the Koran, but they have a Bible open, they'll have a compass and square laying on the top of it. You're blindfolded besides. You kneel down in front of it so you can say, I kneeled in front of the Bible in the lodge. Isn't it a wonderful thing? Yeah, with a hoodwink on, with things covering it. What an insult to the Lord. So, he's telling us what the problem is here. Notice he says in verse 4, Isaiah 59:4, none calleth for justice. Where is justice? You know, we have a justice department in our country, but it's become a just us department. Just us. There's no real justice. You know, they, and I,
I don't agree with the Mormons and with that outfit down in Texas. But they went in and they took all these children away from their parents, and they busted up the whole thing and hauled all these people out in Baptist buses. Baptists loaned them the buses to do it. See, the Baptist is a government church. They're right in with the government. They are 501c3. The government pays them off. Do you know how long you would have to look on a list of ministers to find one that isn't on the take? You'd have to look a long time because they're on the payroll. And they hauled all these people out. And now this girl who got the whole thing started said, "I just made up the story." Well, thanks a lot, you know? Just made up the story. And look at the damage you did there. I don't like to see children separated from their parents. And in many cases, sure, their doctrine's all wrong and so forth, but if they can do it to them, they can do it to you. See, that's the problem. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Sounds like the Oval Office. They hatch cockatrice's eggs and weave the spider's web. This is God talking through the prophet. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Always. But you see, they disguise it. We're for peace. We want peace. When they shall say peace and safety, then what happens? Then sudden destruction cometh upon them as a woman in travail, and they shall not escape. Watch out for that phony peace bait. Barack Obama says, "I get to be president, I'm going to have open dialogue with Ahmadinejad. I'm going to have open dialogue with bin Laden. I'll sit down, I'll have lunch with him, I'll talk to him." It's quite a thought, isn't it? You know, I'll tell you this. People will laugh at you if they'll call you a conspiracy nut. You know they'll laugh at you. Try and call them on these radio talk shows. Try Rush Limbaugh, Maharishi. Try him once. Or this Charlie Sykes over in WTMJ, or one of these guys. Call in there and mention conspiracy. "Oh, you lunatic. Oh, you." And they got the button they can push to cut you off. Oh, how I'd love to have an override on that thing and make them listen for a few minutes. But see, they have to do it. Because they can't even entertain the thought that things are happening because there is some entity, some power that wants these things to happen. And the fact is, the word conspiracy should not scare us because it's the way of man. It's the normal behavior of depraved man. If you got every motel leader together, or owner rather, motel owner in Beaver Dam together for breakfast out there at Walker's, and they were sitting there, it wouldn't be long and they'd say, "Hey, I'll go up a buck if you will." That's the way it works. Any other business, that's why they have conventions. Get together and, you know, a motel owner's convention or whatever, a restaurant convention. "Hey, I'll go up a buck if you will. Let's all go up a buck." That's conspiracy. That's the normal pattern of operation of sinful man. Do you think it doesn't happen in government levels? Now they've got all this spy stuff they're using. These pilots up in New York were bragging. They said, "You know, we've got these new helicopters now, and they fly so high, people don't even know they're there. And we're watching them. We can see their faces." You know, people, they were over the Statue of Liberty. You couldn't see the helicopter. It was that high up. But they had all these monitors on there. They were reading, having fun. They were practicing, reading license plate numbers from that high up. They were zeroing in on people's faces. They were mapping their faces. Yeah. All goes through the satellite into the computer. And just by looking at your face and mapping it, they can get everything about you that exists, your whole dossier. It's all right there in an instant of time. That's how far gone it is. There is no privacy anymore. Because they know what street corner you're standing on. They know what restaurant you're eating in. They know when you are sleeping. They know when you're awake. They know if you've been bad or good. These ascended masters, as they call themselves. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. They are planning destruction. See, God's telling us all this. So we know. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. If you follow their ways, you'll never know peace. If you follow their instructions, you'll never have a solution. You know what the government's solution is to solving a problem, a domestic problem? You throw money at it. Remember when they had all these, back in the they had that war on poverty in the 70s, had all these unwed mothers. They said, what these unwed mothers need is more money. So we'll give them all this free money, all the free this, free that, everything free, give it all to them, and then they would go out and do another act of fornication, screw the red light into the front door there, and then I have another child, and they get a raise. See, what happens when you feed money to a problem? What do you get? More of the problem. What happens if you give an alcoholic more money to help him? He's going to buy something other than Muscatel. He might go with Morgan David or Manischewitz or whatever he's going to do. He'll upgrade. You don't solve a problem by throwing money at it, but our government always says that's the answer. And to do that, we need to tax, more tax, more tax, more tax. And when you run out of things to tax, you put on a surtax, which is a tax on a tax. You tax the tax. And then after that, you can tax the surtax. Don't say it can't happen. Don't even say it can't happen. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. That's the condition of society today. We roar all like bears. Oh, they're all going to make noise about it, aren't they? Oh, these high prices. Oh, this. But then you tell them why. That can't be. Oh, no. That's crazy. That's conspiracy. You're a nut. Conspiracy nut, nut, nut. Right? And it's the only answer. The only thing that makes any sense at all. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far off from us. In other words, where's the answer? It can't be seen. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us, and our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them. And you know what? People know they're doing wrong, but they don't care. That is the problem. They just don't care. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. From the heart! Falseness from the very heart. Folks, that's what we're getting today. These people sit down and plan all of that out. They flaunt it. They look at the people of the United States as being so easily fooled and hoodwinked and deceived, and they play games with it. They even have little tests with it. They'll cancel a whole bunch of flights all at once to see how mad people get. You know? They'll do all kinds of things. They're playing games with this herd of human cattle. They'll spray viruses on people to see how far they travel. 25% of the clinics in the United States are reusing their needles. And this heparin blood thinner, they went into where it's being made in China, and they're scraping the floor and walls of the... It actually goes into the ingredients. They scrape all of this terrible stuff off, comes out of the pig pen, and then they process it, and then they send it over to us, and people shoot it in their veins. Watch, I'm coming up with a lot more. I'm researching what they're doing. When we do this next PowerPoint thing, and then the subsequent one after that, it's going to be a shocker. But right from the heart, they utter these words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. You know, we got that Van Hollen down there in Madison. Do you realize he's the number one Mason in the state of Wisconsin? He's 33rd degree in the Scottish Rite. Of course, he's a Master Mason. You got to be that first. But he is the head of the whole lodge in Wisconsin, the whole consistory, the whole works. And he's in there, and he's got his own agenda. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. How can these people who hold public office take an oath to be impartial and take another one to be partial? To always come to the aid of a brother Mason, whether he be right or whether he be wrong. Right? Huh? Oh, Lord my God, is there no help for the widow's son? Oh, they're pulling fast ones on people. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. What that means is you end up, because you're in their realm, you become your own worst enemy. It's a vicious cycle. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and he wondered that there was no intercessor, nobody praying. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. God said, I'll do it myself. And he did. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. You know, when Jesus came, people saw him as just a humble, ordinary man. But the demon spirit saw him wearing a helmet, and wearing a breastplate, and carrying a sword. That's why they trembled when they saw him. And so the Word of God tells us that according to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. By the way, islands there comes from a Hebrew word that means coastlands. Did you know that more than 50% of the people in the United States live on coastlands along the water? This whole big country, talking about along the lakes as well, but all up and down the seaboards, and that's where the population centers are. Cities are being turned into concentration camps. People are being confined because of debt and the inability to pay, the inability eventually to buy fuel, to go anywhere. It's real easy to seal people off in cities and turn entire cities into concentration camps. It's really no problem at all. One of the easiest is Manhattan, because it's all connected with bridges and tunnels. You can seal those off very nicely. What a prison that would make. Verse 19 says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. I'm saying the Lord will help us when that enemy comes in like a flood, as it has and is. Our God will lift up a standard against him. God will preserve his people. Amen. He did it in Egypt. He did it in the wilderness. He did it many other times. And he will preserve his people to the very end. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. Did he? Yeah. And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Listen. When you turn from transgression, when you repent, you call upon God, He will hear you. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth. So it happens when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, God puts His words in your mouth. Shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. In the few minutes I've got left, turn quickly with me to Ezekiel 12. I always run out of time. Look what the Lord said in Ezekiel 12. Go down to verse 17. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, eat thy bread with quaking. That means you tremble and you shake. And drink thy water with trembling and with carefulness. And say unto the people of the land, Thus saith the Lord God of the inhabitants of Jerusalem and of the land of Israel, they shall eat their bread with carefulness. It's rather interesting because it means anxiety. And drink their water with astonishment, that means with dread, that her land may be desolate from all that is therein because of the violence of all them that dwell therein. You know, if there's ever been a day when you are eating your bread or whatever you're eating, you do it with trembling and fear and quaking and anxiety. Or when you drink, you wonder, how, what's in this, you know? They have totally contaminated the food and the water with things that are legally approved. Don't think they don't do it. A number of years ago, Paul Harvey had mentioned, you know, the oracle of all wisdom, but Paul Harvey had mentioned that up in Alaska, the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, came in and they told the Alaskan government, you must extract a certain percentage of impurities and so forth out of the water because you're not in compliance with the EPA regulations. The government of Alaska said, we can't comply because our water's too clean. It's so pristine that there's nothing to take out of it, so we can't comply. So our EPA, our federal government, forced them to dump all of the waste material from the salmon canneries and all these different companies into the water to pollute the water so they could comply with cleaning it up. Now they say, we're crazy? Is there any conspiracy anywhere? All the redwood in our country grows in our country. It doesn't grow anywhere else in the world, but not one stick of it isn't imported. They take it out beyond the territorial waters and bring it back in with a tariff and with federal taxes and regulations. Oh, you could go on and on and on and on with this. And I still haven't figured out why ITT, International Telephone and Telegraph, makes Hostess Twinkies. This is just another form of poison. By the way, Hostess Twinkies are 95% oil. 95% oil. Of course, I've got to have a little sugar in there. They're almost all oil. But anyway, you eat today with quaking, you drink with trembling. Well, what's going to, you know, you worry about it, you get concerned. They got labels for you, but what else is there? What don't they tell you? What do some of those words mean? You take some things, you look at it, it looks like weed killer when you read the label. I think the Bible is so specific on these things that we have to take it seriously because it's happening to us. And the fact is, our Lord is coming. That's what it all means. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, you can read it for yourself. Jesus said that, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? But he said that if you will travail in prayer, if you will cry out, if you'll be like that widow who appealed to the unjust judge, saying, avenge me of my adversary, even though he doesn't for a while, he will. Where is the Almighty? He's right here. He's waiting for your cry, for your prayer, for your persistence, for your determination to reach him, and he will come in and intervene in your life. That is what we must do. And that's the answer to the question, where is the Almighty? Amen. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, oh, how thankful we are that we can look to Thee, O God, because we know that Thou art not afar off, but Thou art right here with us at this very time. And, O Lord, I pray that Thou wouldst help us, for we need Thee. Hear our prayers, O God. O Lord, let the power of Thy Spirit come upon us. And, O Lord, let the resolution to the problems and the difficulties that we face, let the answers come quickly, O Lord, because the time is short and the days are evil. Let Thy people be blessed. Let Thy people be restored and strengthened. For Thy love, O God, is greater than all of these things. And we feel the true peace that passes all understanding. And the love, O Lord, that cannot be calculated. Lord, be with us now. Lead us by Thy Spirit. Keep us always in Thy care, for there are treacherous times ahead. And we look to Thee, O God, knowing and having confidence that all will be well by faith. And in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.